Well, if you've been with us, you know that I started a new series in our last session on the spiritual growth track, what I'm calling the spiritual growth track. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, God puts you on a path, we saw, and that path is a path of maturity. That path is a path of spiritual formation, and that while we all enter the kingdom of God in a condition of immaturity, God's plan for all of us, without exception, is maturity, is that we all develop, that we all grow in our relationship with the Lord, and that we mature, and that we not only are blessed by God and walking in that blessing, but that we now are a blessing to other people, which is a part of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. Well, I'm specifically looking at that path, the path of the just, because the scriptures teach when God put us on the path of life, that path gets brighter and brighter and brighter. That God's plan is that we go from one measure of grace to more grace, from one measure of faith to more faith, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God working in our hearts and in our lives. And so as a believer, I discovered that immaturity was not only a part of the first 15 years of my Christian experience, I have met thousands upon thousands of believers that are locked into immaturity. And I know that's not God's plan for them no more than it was God's plan for me. Well, God put me on a specific track in 1980, a spiritual growth track. And then I've lived what I'm preaching for 33 years now. And he also taught me, and I'll go over that in a moment, how to put the church and all who want to be a part of spiritual maturity and growth on a track, a path that'll lead to spiritual maturity. Well, it comes out of Acts chapter 2, and so we're going to start where we left off in our last session, and we'll begin in verse 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying," that's talking about the Apostle Peter. This is the day of Pentecost, and he's now ministering to all the people that had come to Jerusalem. He says, "Save yourselves from this untoward," which means crooked and perverse generation. If that was a crooked and perverse generation that he was preaching to, what kind of generation do you think we are going to have to minister to? Things haven't changed in the past 2,000 years for the good at large. No, we have to save ourselves from this untoward generation. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them," that's the 120 that were in the upper room that got filled with the Holy Spirit. "And the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in four things: the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." These four things, saints, are a spiritual food group that I promise you, if you'll partake of them in balance, it will bring balanced growth into your life. I've seen the church, and we've put the church and all the locations on this growth track, on this spiritual growth track, and without fail, any individual who sells out to those four basic food groups, any individual who gets on that growth track of a regular diet of the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers, they'll mature, they'll grow. Anyone and any church that would get on that spiritual growth track will grow, will mature, because that's what God put them on. And if it was good enough for God, and it was good enough for 3,120 people, then it ought to be good enough for me, and it ought to be good enough for our church. And I'm telling you, it is. It has produced maturity and a measure of development and continuing to work in my life, even as I speak. It's working in our church and in our locations, and it will work with any church that embraces it. These four things work together to bring about balanced growth. They work together. It's not like four different tracks. It's one track: the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and then prayers. And so that constant track is a spiritual growth track that will bring maturity. And that's what we are constantly doing. As a pastor, I'm believing God to constantly be creating loving environments that help you get on that growth track, that help you individually find that track and peace on that track, and help us as a church to be on that track. The elders and those that are coming up in leadership, we've been working for a couple of years on defining this track better, on redefining this track. And again, how do we lovingly get people on the track? Because the only way the track won't work is if you're condemned to get on it. If we pressure you to get on it. If we manipulate you to get on it. If we say things like, if you don't get on it, God doesn't love you. That'll cancel out the power of that track and the spiritual growth track. No, you have to see this by revelation like I did. And you have to, by the Spirit of God and the grace of God, begin to align things in your life to make sure you're on that spiritual track. We're in the process of building better systems, even as I speak, to facilitate growth not only in Durant, but also at our locations and at any of the new locations that are added to the church. God spoke this to me 25 years ago, and we had just gotten started. And we started with about 30 to 40 people in a double-wide trailer. And today, we've gone from 30 to 40 people in a double-wide trailer to over 5,500 people in church on the weekend at Victory Life. That is awesome. I don't talk about that publicly a lot. I'd prefer that stay under the radar screen and we stay hidden to a measure and just love God, love each other, and keep serving both. But I guarantee you, this track, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers will bring about maturity. The Lord spoke to me again 25 years ago, and I heard this question in my heart. What would you do if I added 3,000 people to the church in one day? And I'm thinking in my mind, that can't be God. Don't you know where I'm at? I'm Duane from Durant. I hated that, by the way. Don't do that to me, and don't call me that, and don't use that phrase. I shouldn't have said that, but that's how it was in the early days. It's Duane from Durant. And I'm thinking, is this God? Could God be speaking to me about adding 3,000 people to a double-wide trailer in Durant, Oklahoma? And so I dismissed it for a day or two, and I couldn't get it out of my heart. And I kept hearing, what would you do if I added 3,000 people in one day to the church? And so I took it serious then and began to pray and began to seek God. And the first thought I had is, what would I do if God really added 3,000 to the church in one day? And I asked the Lord, you mean outside of passing out? Because that's the first thing I'd have probably done. If 3,000 people showed up at church in one day, I'd have probably passed out. Secondly, I knew He's asking me for a reason. And He's trying to get something out of me or something in me by asking me a question. And so my answer finally was, what would I do if you added 3,000 people to the church? Whatever you tell me to do. That's what I would do. Whatever you tell me to do is what I would do. And then He said, but I've already showed you and told you what to do. What did Peter do? What did God do in the first century church and in the birthing of the church? The first 3,120 people, the first thing they did was continually, steadfastly get in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. And so I received that from the Lord, and we begin to implement that. And I believe we're going to be able to excel this. We have a new leadership emerging that's catching the vision. And I believe that we're going to be able to multiply. We're going to be able to help other churches better. And we're going to keep growing by the grace of God. Amen. So this is important. Well, let's talk about then the apostles' doctrine, because it's mentioned first. The apostles' doctrine is mentioned first, and that is by divine design. We have to start with the apostles' doctrine before we're going to mature, because the apostles' doctrine means teachings. The apostles' teachings affect the other three. If you don't know what God's Word says about fellowship, your fellowship will not produce the desired results God intends. So you have to know, what does the apostles' doctrine say about fellowship? What does the apostles' teaching say about breaking bread and about prayers? You know, I prayed for 15 years, and I gave this testimony when I taught on prayer. I prayed for 15 years and didn't see one prayer answered. The reason was no one taught me how to pray. Nobody taught me where to pray, when to pray, what to pray, and how to pray. And so I was doing what I thought was prayer, but because I didn't know the apostles' teachings on prayer, I wasn't praying. I was crying. I was begging. I was bellyaching. I was manipulative. It got quiet because I called your name, hallelujah. And it wasn't until I got in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings, that I learned again how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, where to pray. All those things got worked out because of the apostles' doctrine finally in my life, and my prayers begin to avail. And I discovered a long time ago, it's not enough just to pray. We want to pray and see results. And one of the primary reasons for prayer is my relationship with God. So when I learn to pray according to the apostles' doctrine, then I begin to develop my relationship with God in prayer. And it made a mega, major difference in my life, and it will yours. So the apostles' doctrine is first mentioned because it affects the other three. Now, teaching begins, or teaching is the beginning of all growth, of all growth. When you think about in the natural, most acceptable behavior and maturity in your life, you were taught. You were taught. That's why my heart breaks for kids today and our generation that's coming up. A lot of kids don't know who their dad is and don't have a dad to bring discipline and loving, nurturing boundaries and that role of a father, and some don't know their mother or have a mother, and it's just so sad what's happening, because again, most of the acceptable maturity socially in your life, you were taught. If you had not been taught to brush your teeth, that would have never been the goal of your day at 6 years of age. You know, the Bible says, take heed to yourselves, lest you bite and devour one another. We would have had to rewrite that scripture. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you gum one another to death. Because you'd have no teeth if you hadn't been taught to brush your teeth. You wouldn't have taken a bath when you were a child had you not been taught to take a bath. Man, at 6 years of age, you don't get up in the morning and say, my goal for today is to take a bath. No, not a six-year-old. Their goal is to get in the mud, get in the dirt, and in some cases, eat the stuff. Amen? Not take a bath. You had to be taught that. You had to be taught to share. As a matter of fact, your parenting skills are not even exercised till you have the second kid. Amen? Once you have number two, now your parenting skills has to go into overdrive, because that's when you see the selfishness, and that's when they have to be taught to share. They have to be taught to prefer, etc., etc. Most acceptable behavior in our life, we were taught. Why do we think spiritual things are any different? We need to be taught the apostles' doctrine specifically, the apostles' teachings. That's the first thing that throws people, is apostles' doctrine. I hear people all the time say, we don't want any doctrine. They'll be trying to organize something, and they'll say, we'd like the Bible and some of the things of God and the kingdom, but we don't want any doctrine. And that's a confusing mindset. What we don't want is any dogmas. What we don't want is the doctrines of men. Okay, I'm having to pull teeth now. We need doctrine, saints, and we need sound doctrine. The Bible says, in the last days, men shall not endure sound doctrine, but they'll actually heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll actually pay people to tell them what they want to hear. They'll pay people to say anything but what the Word of God teaches, what the apostles' doctrine or teachings teach. We have to know what God has said if we're going to mature. You'll never grow, you'll never mature individually, and a church won't grow with healthy growth if we don't exalt the Word of God, if we don't exalt the apostles' teachings, the new covenant expression of the faith. Notice again, it's the apostles' teachings. Why do we have to be established immediately in the apostles' teachings? Because the new covenant, dear ones, the new covenant, the New Testament explains what the old covenant contains. And a lot of the immaturity in Christians today is because they haven't learned the apostles' teachings, they haven't learned the new covenant, so when they get in the old covenant, they get tremendously confused. I was so confused for so long because I didn't know the difference between old covenant and new covenant. And Jesus warned us and told us, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You can't live under the New Testament grace after Old Testament administration. And if you don't know the apostles' teachings and you get into the old covenant, you're going to see things like curses and wrath and God punishing people for sin. And so you're going to get confused thinking that if you sin, If you mess up, if you fail, God's going to punish you. Under the Old Testament, God punished people for their sins. It was a curse. It was wrath from heaven. But see, because I know the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings, I know what Paul said now in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Because I know the apostles' doctrine, teachings, I know now that I'm not under all those curses. I'm not under all that wrath. I'm not under all that punishment. I may mess up, I may fall, I may fail, but my God will never leave or forsake me. He loves me unconditionally, and I thank God he's not punishing me. God will never punish you for your mistakes again. He punished Jesus on the cross for you. But you won't know that if you're not taught. And unfortunately, we've gone to churches, many of us, that have goofed us up worse than we were before we came. They taught us the wrong stuff. And so the confusion just mounts upon confusion, and we never grow. We never mature. So we have to get in the apostles' teachings, the apostles' doctrine, because Jesus is the substance or the reality to all the types, all the shadows, and all the pictures. And you can't really understand the old covenant in its proper context if you don't know the new covenant. And so the apostles' doctrine is first and foremost, and you have to get established in it. And we as a church have to facilitate loving environments to make sure we're exposing you to the apostles' doctrine and that we're either getting it in you or you in it. See, the law, Moses, got them, the children of Israel, to the promised land. Think with me for a minute. Moses, the law, got all the people of God, got Israel, to the promised land. But listen, Moses could not get them into the promised land. Moses had to die and be taken away. Joshua had to be raised up. And Joshua did what Moses couldn't do, got the people of God into the promised land. The law is good if a man use it lawfully, and we need the law of Moses. Listen, the law reveals our sin. The law reveals our guilt. The law stops our mouth and makes us all guilty before God, and it brings us to the promised land. But the law cannot get us into the promised land. The law has to be taken away once it gets you to the promised land, and you need a Joshua. His name is Jesus. He's the grace of God, and he gets you into the promised land by faith. By faith. Many people never grow up because they're still looking to Moses and trying to live the Christian life under Moses versus looking to Jesus and living the Christian life under the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's first and foremost, apostles' doctrine. All right, let's look together in the apostles' doctrine, the New Testament, the teachings of the Apostle Paul to a young pastor. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17. Yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. If you are not being persecuted, I love you. I'm not condemning you, but you are a closet Christian. You are a stealth believer, because all they that live godly shall, not maybe, you never know, it might. No, if you're living godly in this culture, you will be persecuted. And if you're not being persecuted, saints, you're not living godly. You're not standing for your faith. You're not living the life Jesus and walking the path Jesus has laid down. If the world's patting you on the back and if the world loves you and you're a friend of the world, the scriptures say if we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. You can't live this new life and get on this path and not experience some rejection. Some persecution. Verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're going to stay here for a minute now. Deceiving and being deceived. Now that was almost 2,000 years ago. We live in a world where people say there is no evil. And there certainly aren't evil men. You're deceived and they're deceivers. We live in an evil world. I need one amen. Sue's not here. Somebody help me out. We live in a fallen world. We live in an evil world, and there's deceived people all around us, and there's deceivers all around us. That's why we need the Word of God so desperately in this hour, and sound doctrine, sound teaching for us and our children. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Everybody say learned. See, we have to learn some things. Amen? Hey, women, hey, anybody? We have to learn some things. When you get born again, when you come to Jesus, you're a babe. You're immature. So you have to be taught. You have to learn. He says, hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You need to know those that labor among you to a measure. You need to know our life. You need to make sure we're the real deal. That we're not deceivers. That we're not saying one thing and living a totally different thing. And that from a child. Everybody say a child. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. We're going to stay here now, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice what makes you wise. What is it that makes you wise? And can I get a witness that if you're wise, you won't be deceived? And if you're wise, you won't be a deceiver. So what is it that makes us wise? The Holy Scriptures is what makes us wise. Y'all are a little quiet this service. Make sure it's not me. Give me a minute. I'll warm up here in a second. Now, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Age does not make you wise. It makes you old and wrinkled. Oh, come on. Don't get mad at me for that. Yeah, I know a lot of old, dumb people. Just being around a long time doesn't make you smart. Just being around a long time or being a certain way doesn't make you right just because you've been here longer than anybody else. It's not age that makes us wise. Listen, it's the Word of God putting it in your heart and applying it to your life. That's what makes you wise. That's where wisdom comes from, is the Word of God. And I'm ministering on the apostles' doctrine right now, and I'll come back to this child thing, but I enjoy sharing probably on the Word of God itself and its impact in your life than anything in Scripture, because I know the power of God's Word. I know what it does to the human heart. I know what it'll do to your life. I know what it's done in my life. I know the big mega difference from 1965 to 1980 and from 1980 to today is the apostles' doctrine in my life, the Word of God being sown in my heart. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It'll give you guidance in a dark, sin-ridden world. The Word of God is food. It's milk to you. It's meat to you as you feed on it. The Word of God will endure forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word will endure forever. God sent His Word. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, God sent His Word and healed us and delivered us from all of our instructions, our destructions. The Scriptures teach that if we'll hide the Word of God in our heart, we won't sin against God. It affects your heart, thereby your life. If we will be the disciples of Jesus and continue in the Word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Man, we can't get in the Word of God too much. I don't want to condemn people or force people, but you need to get the Word of God in you. You need to eat it. You need to drink it. You need to sniff it. You need to stick it in you intravenously if you have to. You need to snort it. You got to do whatever you can do to get this stuff off of these pages and into your heart and into your life by the power of God. Hallelujah. God's Word is awesome. God's Word is awesome, and the power of it and the effect of it. He said, you've known it from a child. That's why our children's church is not a babysitting service. We want the Word of God in your children early. Listen, because they were created by God to believe. Now, I'm going to share something to rock your world if you'll listen. You were created by God to grow. Spiritual growth is the natural order, not the unnatural order. Listen carefully. You were created by God to believe in miracles. To believe in signs and wonders. To believe in the supernatural. You were created by God to believe that impossible things can be made possible in relationship with God. You don't have to teach a kid to believe. They're created to believe. Do you realize that your children and your grandchildren believe that animals can talk? They believe it. They believe that a guy in a red suit with an eating disorder flies around the whole world in one night and puts gifts under everybody's trees, slides down a chimney that I can't get down, rides on a sleigh with reindeer. They believe it. My children had such a hard time embracing any of that because they knew if that dude would have showed up at my house, I'd have shot the reindeer and we'd have had deer for dinner. Hallelujah. It ain't gonna happen. There is no way that many deer could be on my roof and me not capitalize on that, dude. I'm telling you. Them antlers are going to be on the wall, hallelujah. We're going to be bragging all year. I don't know about this Santa Claus guy. They believe that rabbits lay eggs. That's why you have to be so careful and cautious, because they were made to believe. A child believes that Jesus walked on water. They believe that he raised the dead. They believe that he cleanses the lepers. They believe that he feeds thousands with a little boy's loaf. They believe. Listen, you have forgotten you used to believe naturally too. And your problem and my problem's not believing. Our problem is we've been taught too much unbelief. We've been talked out of the supernatural, talked out of the impossible, talked out of a God that is alive and that wants to invade our world and walk with us in the cool of the day and talk to us. And that when he talks to us, it changes us. We don't change for him. He changes us for himself through and by his word. His word. Look at the next verse, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. This doesn't mean sinless or flawless. None of us are sinless or flawless. Perfect means mature, full grown. And full grown, mature people still make mistakes, amen? I got a couple of those here, right? He says, that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God in your life, the apostles' teachings, getting in your heart, will not only bring maturity to your life, listen, it will equip you for any work God's called you to. It will cause you to be able to fulfill God's divine plan for your life and his will for your life if you'll just submit to the word of God, the apostles' doctrine. Notice again, number one, that all scripture is God-breathed. Now, I don't know where this comes from. We haven't had this problem here, and we haven't had it in our geographical area for years, but there's something emerging that I don't know where it's coming from, but people are saying things that are not true about the Word of God, and many young people especially are believing things that are not true about the Word of God. I'm having to deal with people now again that believe that these writers of the Scriptures, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets, that they wrote down their biases and their opinions. These men that wrote these words did not write down their biases and their opinions. They were holy men of God, moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, and penned the Holy Scriptures. This is God's word. These are God's thoughts. These are God's ways. They had biases, I'm sure. They had opinions, but that's not what they recorded. They recorded the mind of God. This is the word of God. And any society that wants to control the masses and empower themselves and impoverish people have to get rid of the scriptures. That's why communism is so terrible and evil, is because the communists have to take the word of God out of the people's hands. Because if this stuff gets in your hands and it ever gets off these pages into your heart, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. No one can enslave you till you take away the word of God. That's why our society, in a backslidden condition, is constantly assaulting the word of God, constantly saying negative things about the word of God. Because they know if this stuff ever gets out of the book and into the human heart, it is going to change your life, and no one can manipulate you after that. No one can impoverish you after that. No one can use you to empower themselves after that. Once Jesus is Lord, nobody else is. I need a better witness. Once Jesus is Lord, nobody else is. This is final authority in our lives, and we can count on this. We can bank on this. Now, we can't count always on our interpretations and our misunderstandings, but we can count on the Word of God. We can count on the Holy Scriptures. All Scriptures fall under three categories, he said: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. In other words, when we read the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, they're going to fall, and God's going to speak to us in four categories. It's either going to bring doctrine, correction, reproof, or instruction in righteousness' sake. See, it didn't say that all scriptures are doctrine for the church. All scripture is not doctrine for the church. There are some things under the Old Testament that God said to Israel, specifically to Israel, listen, and it was doctrine for them, it was teaching for them, and a commandment of God that they had to obey. They had to take a lamb. They had to cut its throat. They had to take the blood, put it on the mercy seat. They had to offer the lamb a sacrifice to God. That was doctrine to them. That's not doctrine to us. Amen. We know the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings. We know that we're not under any administration of an animal's blood to deal with sin. We know that Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Amen? So now, that's not doctrine for us, but listen, we can receive instruction to help us understand the blood of Jesus a little better and what Jesus did for us. We can go back to the types and the shadows because the new explains what the old contains. We can receive correction on how we relate to the blood of Jesus. We can receive something by the Spirit in those scriptures that will come alive and change our lives. You know, I feel so privileged to do what I do. I'm probably one of the most blessed men on the planet to get to live my life to feed on the flesh of Jesus, to drink the blood of Jesus, and to get that in me to a point that I can now impart bodies of truth supernaturally into the hearts of men and women that'll change their entire destiny, perhaps generations. What a blessing, what a privilege to get to do this. Because see, what I do is supernatural. This is not a lecture. This is not a speech. This is not a presentation. This isn't really even a sermon. My words are spirit, and my words are life, and bodies of truth are being imparted into every heart that's open right now by the thousands. It's a miracle. Preaching the gospel, preaching the apostles' doctrine is miraculous and marvelous in the scheme of God and in the plan of God for men's hearts. And those bodies of truth are being imparted. But watch this. I say the same thing under the anointing of God to everybody at the same time, but guess what? The Holy Spirit takes what I just said, and for some people, I adjusted their doctrine. I didn't do it. The Holy Ghost did it. But other people, they didn't hear doctrine. This wasn't new to them. They know, but they got corrected. They sort of, well, you know, I need to change my thinking on that part. So they got correction. Other people with the same word at the same time, they got reproof. Those are the people who usually get mad, pop up and run out. I didn't do that. I love them. I wasn't gunning for them. It was the Holy Ghost dealing with them about something, and they got reproved, and they didn't respond to it correctly. Other people, we just receive with the same word at the same time instruction in righteousness. And this is what helps you grow understanding those four categories. Again, people approach the Bible with the wrong attitude all the time and get the wrong results all the time. You have to have a heart when you approach this book. Do you know how many people approach this book just looking for something to argue with other people about? Do you know how many people approach this book already making up their mind? I know what I believe, and I'm going to go prove it with the Bible. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to. Did you know the Bible says Judas hung himself? There's a scripture that says Judas hung himself. Then there's another scripture that says, go thou and do thou likewise. You got to be careful. Can I get a witness? We need the Holy Ghost. I've met people my whole life that says, the Bible says, and they're meaner than a snake. They know what the Bible says, but they don't know the author of the Bible. They don't have a relationship with the author. They don't know the spirit of the book. Some of you, I love you, but you're sitting there right now. Everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. I didn't call anybody's name, but if the phone rings, answer it. You're sitting there right now, and you're thinking, my God, Sister Big Mouth is not here today. She needed this. Or you're sitting there, well, Brother Know-It-All, wouldn't you know it? He doesn't show up when Pastor Dwayne is laying some doctrine down and Brother Know-It-All wasn't here. Others of you, I love you, but you're sitting there right now and you're going, I wonder if my husband is getting this. This is what I've been trying to tell him forever. He won't open the Bible. He never gets in it. The husband's sitting there right now going, I hope she's paying attention and she ain't the Holy Ghost and she doesn't know everything either. Get her, Pastor. Amen. Do you know what the most amazing thing to me is? I've lived my whole life to be a vessel of honor in the house of God. I've lived my whole life to do what I'm doing right now, and have walked with God, searched the scriptures, try to be real and authentic. And God has placed me in a position, and today I come here, I got up early, I've sacrificed some things, and God sent me and used my whole life to bring me here today to talk to people that aren't here. You know, you want to go, what's up with that? How many of you know I can't help people that aren't here? I'm not talking to people that aren't here, I'm talking to you, hallelujah, amen. Come on now, come on. Give it up. You know, I'm telling you the truth. And you're not going to be changed, and you're not going to mature and develop until you receive the things of God into your own heart and into your own lives. Let's go to the next passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. If you have your Bible, just back up a few pages. Let's look at this together. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, and that's a difficult concept in our culture, Christian suffering. What is Christian suffering? He says, but if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I love that scripture. If we deny him, he'll deny us. But if we're unfaithful or faithless at times, he won't be unfaithful to us. He can't deny himself. You know, it's one thing to deny Jesus. It's another thing to believe in Jesus and fail, and believe in Jesus and be confused, believe in Jesus and still have a lot of doubt. There's a difference. And no matter what you're doubting, God loves you, and God will never leave or forsake you. And he is faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him. Isn't that good? That's good news. Thank you, Jesus. If we believe not, he is faithful. Of these things, put them in remembrance. I'm doing that. Charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to mature, if you're going to grow, you can't just read the Bible. That's a start. You can't just study the Bible. That's a start. But you have to rightly divide it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's where a pure heart comes in, and time sometimes. The biggest division that has to be rightly divided is Old Covenant from New Covenant. Aren't you glad we have a better covenant established on better promises, and that first covenant had fault to it, and God had to take it away? It has a place. We need it, especially in our culture, but it cannot get us into the promised land. That's the grace of God. And so here's four questions. I'm going to give you four questions to help you when you study, to help you when you read the Bible, to get the life out of it. Now, there's probably other questions and people that could probably do a better job at what I'm about to do. But all I can share is what I do and where I'm at. And these four questions have helped me in my walk with God. If you'll learn these four questions, you will rightly divide the word of truth. And you will grow, I promise. And we will grow if we will rightly divide the word of truth. First question is, what does it say? What does the Bible really say? One of the biggest surprises in my entire adult life was when I quit going to church and believing what the preacher said and read the Bible for myself. I can't tell you, saints, how shocked I was. And I can't tell you how many people go to church and have been to church their whole life, but they never really seek out and search what it says. That's why I have the monitors. That's why I give you the notes. I want you to check this out for yourself and spend time to make sure it says what it says, and that even I didn't mess up and say it says something it didn't say. We've got to know, what does the Bible say? All growth, all change begins with knowledge. That's the first step, the baby step. You got to know what it says. And again, when I read the Bible, I was shocked at how much I was told God said that God didn't say. Been to church my whole life and heard this and heard that and heard this and heard that. And when I read the Bible, God didn't say that. Amen. Y'all didn't go to my church. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You'll recall that even Jesus said one time, he said, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. You've heard it said, but I say unto you. And he wasn't even referring to men's doctrines and men's biases and opinions. He was referring even to the law of Moses. And he said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, I'm going to bring you, says Jesus, into another level. I'm going to bring you into another place of grace. I'm going to bring you into a kingdom and the kingdom of God in which I'm going to live in you. And I am going to work in you and flow through you to where you no longer hear love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say unto you, love even your enemies. We need to get in the Word of God and get the Word of God in us and find out what did God really say. That's the first question. Two and three go together. Two and three work together. The first question leads to knowledge. What does it say? Second and third question, to whom is it speaking? When you're reading the Bible, you have to at least get the context and who is he talking to? Because again, if he's talking to Israel and it's about Israel for Israel, then I can't apply that as doctrine for today, but I can learn something from it. You'll recall the rich young ruler, one of my favorite passages in the sense of this guy comes to Jesus and he says, what do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus says, well, you know the law, you know the prophets. And he says, yeah, I know them and I've kept them from my youth. I'm surprised Jesus didn't chuckle. Yeah, right. You are a good little trooper. You must be a super saint. The only one's ever kept it, but okay. You've kept every bit of it? And then so he's going to go ahead and show the guy that his self-appraisal is a little high. Hello? Your property value is not near what you think it is. Here's the deal, dude. Go sell all you got. Give the money to the poor, not the preacher. You've heard it said. But I say unto you, he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And the Bible says the man left very sad because he had many riches. The truth of the matter is he didn't have many riches. Many riches had him. And that's where Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Why is it hard for a rich man? Because he puts his trust in his money. It is a deception that comes with money. You put your trust in the money. You look to the money for your happiness. You look to the money for your security. You look to the money. So it's hard then to look to God. And yet the man couldn't let go of the money. Now see, I can't come along and tell everybody that wants to get saved, well, here's how you get saved. Sell all you have, give your money to the poor, and follow Jesus. Okay, y'all just don't appreciate that. All four services, I think that's awesome. That I can't do that. I can't apply that to everybody and what they got to do to be saved. There are some people that are not going to enter the kingdom of God, and their problem's not money. Their problem's lust. Their problem is a perversion. Their problem is an addiction, and it's holding them back. And they think to get saved, I got to let go of this. I can't lose my life in order to find life. So it's different for different people. But see, I can learn from the rich young ruler. I can rightly divide it, and I can receive correction, instruction. I can receive the understanding of, you know what, I need to be careful about as God blesses me, not to ever put trust in my wealth. And I got to be mindful of the poor. I need to always be mindful of the poor. The next passage went on in that passage to talk about a businessman and how I hired people at the beginning of the day and paid them, and in the middle of the day paid them, and hired one guy for 1 hour but paid him the same thing that he paid the guy that worked all day. Evidently, everybody didn't sell all they have and give it to the poor. Somebody had to be a businessman and a businesswoman and hire people. But in the hiring of people, he blessed the guy that worked 1 hour and helped him get his needs met as much as the guy that worked all day. That's pretty powerful. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting blessed. I need to rightly divide it. So, to whom is it speaking and what does it mean? Just because you've read it and you know what it says doesn't mean you know what it means. I mean, you know, Jesus said, except you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you ain't got no life in you. You better get some understanding about that. You may know what it says, but what does it mean? Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. None of you believe that because you still have two. It'd be better for you to go to heaven with one eye than go to hell with two. You remember that? I'm kind of in a hurry. Everybody okay? Don't nobody go pulling your eyeballs out. I'm telling you, I know what he said, but what did he mean? Come on now, y'all aren't with me. I'm not the only one that reads the Bible and goes, uh-oh. That's pretty radical. I mean, if your feet are offending you, if it's taking you where you don't want to go, cut your leg off. You don't believe that because you didn't hobble in here. You know what it says, but what does it mean? Listen, that's called understanding. Very few people grow because they don't go from the knowledge of what it says to what does it mean. And boy, the fourth one is the one that is the, this is it. Here's where you're trying to get to. How does it apply? How does it apply? Listen, that's called wisdom. That's called wisdom. See, I have to have knowledge first. What does it say? Then I have to have understanding. What does it mean? See, understanding is the arrangement and proper arrangement of facts. The facts are, the Bible says, but you're not going to grow and you're not going to see change until you get to that, what does it mean? What does it mean? Then when you get what it means, listen, you got to apply it. The people that are going to grow aren't just those that are hearers of the word, but they're doers of the word also. There's a point where God is speaking to me, and I got to make a change by the grace of God. I have to apply what this is saying. Amen? So those four questions will help you rightly divide now the word of truth. Let me close with this. And these are tracks that the church has going constantly that intersect with the track of spiritual growth. And these are the things we're improving on. These are the things we're going to get better at and refine and define. Number one, regular services, Saturday night, Sunday, and Wednesday. You need to at least commit to the rhythm of grace in your discipline of at least seeking God corporately. We need to be a part of at least one service. And I'm not condemning anybody for not coming to church. If you don't come to church, God loves you the same as if you come to church. God's love for you doesn't change if you quit church, and God's love doesn't change for you if you're at church every time the doors are open. But listen, your love for God will change when you learn more about Him by the Spirit of God. So that is the cycle. That's a track, a path that helps us get on the apostles' doctrine. If you're going to come to church here, I'm always going to at least feed you something that if you'll receive it, it can have an impact on your life. You need more than that, but you need at least that. Number two, discipleship classes. This is what I'm believing God to emerge, and I need people to step up. I need some of these men and women that I see in multiple services that just love God and love the Word. I want to see you help me get people in the Apostles' Doctrine. We need classes. The reason we have financial classes going all the time is because we all need teaching on how to handle our money. Most of us grew up in a home. I grew up supporting handle money. We just wanted some. I never heard a word about handling money because we were just always trying to find some. And so you need finances. Marriage. Can I get a witness? Marriage is work. Amen. That's the best witness I've got all morning. Praise God. Marriage is work. Child training. You have to be taught some things about raising your kids, et cetera, et cetera. So discipleship classes. Number three, free CDs, MP3s, MP4s, and the breaking of bread devotions that we have on the internet. You can go on the internet at any time and download MP3s. You can do the MP4s, videos. Those are just available. It is an environment we've created not to condemn anybody or pressure anybody, but you need to get in the Word of God through the different venues that God has made available. Number four, special services. You know, we do these marriage seminars. They're awesome. And Sue is really growing. You can tell she's not in this service, can't you? So I love you, darling. Hallelujah. I'm getting better too. Jubilee. That's an environment, a loving environment, excited, where the apostles' doctrine is just downloaded into people's hearts. Four-day conferences. I just got back from Broken Bow, and we had a four-day conference. And man, they're awesome, just getting in the Word of God together and worshiping together outside of our rhythm, outside of our weekly services. Number five, we need to encourage better individual disciplines. We'll never condemn you if you come to this church. We'll never manipulate you in any way, but we want to always be encouraging you to get on this track. How can we help you get in the Word of God better? How can we help you with fellowship? How can we help you with breaking bread? And we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. Man, there are some Through the Bible in 1 Year programs that weren't available 10 years ago. We need to do better as a church helping you get hooked up with a one-year Through the Bible program. It could really help you and encourage you. This is my favorite way to get in the Word of God, meditating in it. I've read the Bible multiple times, but I shock people sometimes when I say, there are days I don't open the Bible. Yeah, there's days I don't open it and read it and that kind of thing. But I am in the Word of God every day and getting the Word of God in me every day. I learn and I grow mainly through meditating on a scripture and just putting it in my heart, speaking it out my mouth, praying, thinking about it, meditating, talking to God about it, and asking those questions. God, did I read this right? God, what do you mean by this? And God, how does this apply to me in my daily life? And then the last one are the outreaches to the other cities. The outreaches to the other cities. This is where we've evolved, that instead of starting a Victory Life church, we are doing outreaches from the existing locations in the surrounding cities, where they take a DVD of this morning, and they'll show that on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night in some type of city where there's no expression of the Word of God or no church. And so you start off that way, just getting the Word of God to people. And if they hunger for the Word of God and they're receiving the Word of God, then we'll go to the next step of fellowship, breaking bread, prayers, and then that thing can evolve into a Victory Life church. But these things are just a few things, and I want to close with just encouraging you again. Look at your own life. Look at your own heart. The thing that's going to change your life is the Word of God. Not trying harder, not legalism, not more rules. What's going to change your life is relationship with God in accordance to the apostles' doctrine specifically. Get in the Word at some level and start getting it in you, and it will begin to change you. Well, were you blessed today? Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray. I want to do this a little different. Usually I dismiss.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.